the husbands and wives knew one another. You would, you read that over and over again in the Old Testament. So-and-so knew his wife, and then usually it resulted in a child. But it has to do with knowing. It's bonding. It brings closer together. Like Adam and Eve were before the fall. They were naked and unashamed. So I believe that bonding means there's less and less shame and more sharing.
That was Eileen Scipione giving us some game-changing insights about sex. The Christian church does not talk or teach about sex enough. That could be why most Christians are confused when it comes to the subject, and why a lot of Christian couples struggle in their sex lives with no support. When we understand God's heart and design in sex, we are freed to enjoy this wonderful gift of His. In this podcast episode, Eileen will show us a biblical view of sex and also help us overcome some of the common problems married couples face. This is the Overcoming Porn Podcast. Let's cue the intro music. Welcome to the Overcoming Porn Podcast, where it's all about helping you flee temptation, overcome porn, and live in lasting victory over sexual sin from a biblical perspective. Produced by the Titus II Institute. What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, George, and you are listening to the Overcoming Porn Podcast, episode 28, the podcast dedicated to helping you overcome porn and live in lasting freedom over sexual sin. And brothers, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to come and listen to our podcast. If this podcast has been of any help to you, if you could please give us a like or follow on Spotify, or a 5-star review, rating on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and we hope that we have been a blessing to you. And today, we have an awesome guest with us to talk about sex. And I'm sure that you guys have been waiting for an episode where we discuss the biblical view of sex, how we should think about sex as believers. And today I have on the show Eileen Scipione, and she is an amazing woman. She is an author, speaker, teacher, biblical counselor, discipler of women and children. On top of raising 5 children of her own, Eileen has a degree in special education for the visually impaired and certification from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. She taught elementary and handicapped classes in both public and Christian schools, ran a homeschool network, and operated a pro-life counseling center that was attacked by Planned Parenthood. She was married to the late George Scipione, and together they were a pioneering force in the biblical counseling movement. Eileen has recently written a book called From Duty to Delight, Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman. And in this book, she lays out her life experience and life knowledge on the topic of sex, having counseled many Christian couples, many women on the subject. And I'm excited to have her on the show to talk about sex, because this is such an important topic that we all need to talk about as Christians. The world talks about it so much. We get hit with so many beliefs that the world has about sex, and the church is pretty much crowded out in the discussion. We don't talk about it enough in our small groups, in our fellowship groups, in our men's groups, in our women's groups, in our church meetings, in our Sunday schools, about the topic of sex. And so I wanted to bring her on so that she could teach us some biblical principles on sex, the common problems that married couples have with sex and how to overcome them. I hope that this interview is a blessing to you. So without further ado, let's get into the Overcoming Porn podcast, episode 28, interview with Eileen Scipione. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. My name is George, and I'm your host. And today we have a very special guest coming to talk to us on a very important topic that all of you guys would be really interested in listening to the end. Today I have Eileen Scipione with me. Hi, Eileen. How are you today?
I'm really happy to be with you.
That's great. I am happy too. So Eileen, before we get into it, why don't you just tell us a bit about yourself, whether that is personally or vocationally.
Well, I have been a biblical counselor for 20 plus years, but I was married to George Scipione, who was in biblical counseling for almost 50 years. And I use past tense because the Lord took him home in January of 2020. But we were married 47 years and we learned a lot, usually the hard way. But then we counseled a lot. We counseled individually, we counseled in teams. And then we traveled around the world, he to many countries, me to fewer, but we did a lot of work with internationals, different cultures, our own culture, the Reformed camp, evangelicals, and even non-Christians. And so we learned a lot. And so I've just written a book that my husband wanted me to write. So I think it was that book, because I have it listed on Facebook, From Duty to Delight. So that's I think why I'm here.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I'm definitely thankful to the Lord for your faithfulness and George's faithfulness. I had a chance of just meeting him briefly in the past. And yeah, I praise God for all that you guys have done for the Lord's church. And I definitely wanted to bring you on the show to talk about the book that you had written, and you had named it briefly, but the title is From Duty to Delight. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, what prompted you to write that book, and what that book is about?
Well, the subtitle on the cover will be Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman. But husbands can get a whole lot out of it, and I hope men read it also, especially because the last chapter is for men and women, single, divorced, and widowed. So the last chapter is about Christ, our bridegroom, what that means very practically. But I wrote this book because my husband, number one, thought it was a good idea. But our own marriage of 47 years, those first 30 years, I said maybe it was a B plus, may or B minus. I mean, we struggled. We had five children and a busy lifestyle and ministry. And although we had five children, we kind of struggled in this area. But I would say our last 17 years were an A plus. And we were pretty old. So we learned so much. God taught us that. He said, Eileen, you should write a book. And I didn't start it. And then after he went home to be with the Lord, I thought, I'm a widow. I can't write a book on sex. Are you kidding me? But I had friends and counselees who'd said, well, why not? You had 47 years. You learned a lot. Can't you still write it? And then I think the Lord put it on my heart that I could. So I did. So that's why I wrote the book. I really wanted to help hurting people, because that title says From Duty to Delight. And I just found that it was just so much duty for women, and not a whole lot of delight. And I just thought that the biblical viewpoint was it was a two-way thing. So my commitment was that we needed to go from duty to delight. And of course, you find out in reality, you go back to duty to delight. Duty to light. It's really back and forth, but I wanted the church to see that God created this beautiful gift for husbands and wives.
I love that.
That's why
I
I
love
wrote
how
it.
you, yeah, I love how you have decided to write this book, listen to your husband and to your counselees and your friends, because I think that this is a super important topic, and there's not many good Christian books out there on the topic.
Well, they're not holistic like mine.
Right.
There's been some new ones. What's her name? Gregore just have written some. There's some other good books out there, but they're much less practical.
I see.
My book is for the whole woman. In other words, I'm addressing spiritually, physically, emotionally. It's very broad. It's not super deep. Well, in some ways it is, but it's very broad.
Mm-hmm. Great. So with, you know, 47 years of marriage and counseling for so many years, you know, what is a healthy Christian understanding of sex, you know, as you have learned?
Well, I'm going to change the vocabulary on your question, George.
Sure. By all means.
I mean, I like healthy and I get Christian, but I want to do biblical and, I don't know, practical, I guess. Hell, you know, because Christian doesn't say enough for me. So I guess what I want to say is that I want a biblical understanding. And so I believe that it's a beautiful gift from God in this life. Not necessarily in eternity. I mean, it says, Jesus said there was no giving and taking of marriage in heaven. So not the next life, but I believe it's a wonderful gift that he's given to men and women, husbands and wives who are committed to each other. And it's, I believe he gave that gift for three reasons. Now, historically, in the Christian church, procreation, having children, was like number one, with no number two or number three, just one. And I would say because of the Song of Solomon, which I know is about Jesus, Jesus is in every book in the Old Testament, in my opinion, but I don't think you can take Song of Solomon only as a picture of your intimate relationship with Christ. I think it has a very strong secondary interpretation. And I think that's knowing one another and pleasuring one another. I think Solomon and his Shulamite wife, I mean, there was lots of yearning, lots of mutual pleasuring. So I would have to say that in my book, I use pleasure sharing as one of God's purposes. I don't call it pleasure. I call it pleasure sharing from that passage. So it would be procreation, but I won't say that's number one, obviously, but it is important. The Lord told us to be fruitful and multiply. So certainly procreation, but obviously some couples are barren and God has ordained it that way. But you can also see the importance of pleasure, pleasure sharing. And so I have a whole section on that. And then I would say God, a biblical picture then is bonding. One flesh bonding. It's relational. The husbands and wives knew one another. You read that over and over again in the Old Testament. So-and-so knew his wife, and then usually it resulted in a child. But it has to do with knowing. It's bonding. It brings closer together. Like Adam and Eve were before the fall. They were naked and unashamed. So I believe that bonding means there's less and less shame and more sharing. So let's see. I don't know if I've answered that, but those are I think it's my second chapter in the book that lays out what I think the the biblical view of why God gave this beautiful gift.
Right. Wow. Yeah, those three were super helpful. You said procreation, pleasure sharing. I like that. And also bonding.
Yes, relational bonding.
Relational bonding. And that is the biblical understanding of sex. For sure. Well, I mean, I see it in scripture, the way that you laid it out for us. Okay, so having this biblical understanding and going into marriage with that, in your experience, what are some of the common struggles that Christian couples face regarding sex?
Well, I mean, Satan has been messing this up for a long time. And it is, I think, so important that, of course, he would go for that. And it has been so distorted. My very first chapter is called, How Did We Get So Messed Up, Given We've Had the Bible for So Long? It's my longest chapter. It's 30 pages. It starts in the Old Testament, New Testament, the patriarchs, all through history, right up through the 60s, the sexual revolution, and where we are now. So some people will pick that book up and they don't care anything about history and they won't read that chapter, and that's just fine. But we've had struggles for a long time. And remember, all really important things took a long time in church history. It took 400 years to just figure out the Trinity. 300 years on the two natures of Christ. So I guess I'm not surprised that this one, the church is taking a long time to really get to what I would see as a biblically balanced view. So what are those struggles? Oh, my word, it's communication. They don't feel free to talk to each other about it. They have really unbiblical expectations going in. I mean, men who've been hooked on porn think that if they got married, then their problems will be over. And they don't realize that, you know, their wife is not a porn star. She talks back to them. My husband used to say, because my husband admitted in his seminary classes, he would talk to the guys and say, look, I struggled with, he made it very public, porn and masturbation. And he said, the big difference with your wife and those figures on the screen, of course, he was pre-cyber, he says, is your wife talks back to you. And she has a history and she has a, you know, she has expectations too. So it's just real different. So, and then a lot of Christian wives come in with, I mean, a lot of them have just wrong expectations. They've filled themselves with either a Disney idea of what love is, or maybe the purity culture. You know, the purity culture has tried to help, you know, guys and gals be pure, but they never, the purity culture, you know, Josh Harris and all that, they didn't make any room for when you messed up and sinned. And you weren't pure anymore, then what do you do? So, you know, coming into the marriage with feelings of guilt and shame. Husbands and wives come in. And so sometimes they think they know a lot, sometimes they don't. And they haven't, in church, they haven't gotten a really good a biblical view in their churches, Sunday school classes, Bible studies. You know, somebody handed them a book and said, read this. You know, it's just been so much shame and silence. I debated Planned Parenthood one time, and I had to admit to them that we evangelicals and reformed people have failed miserably with our children. Mm. So they come in with so many wrong ideas, or they've seen their parents either not touch each other in appropriate ways or be fighting or divorced. So many things are struggles with Christian couples, and they don't pray together on this. I tell them, you know, you pray before the meal. Why couldn't you pray about this? And they think, what? Pray? God is in that bedroom. He's smiling upon you. Oh, no. No, he's not. He's, you know, he's not sure this is a good thing. And so just their all their wrong views, unbiblical, shame-filled, fear-filled, insecure ideas, you know, just influencing each other. Mm-hmm. Hyper-modesty. Oh, my word. That's a bad one. Being unwilling to be naked and unashamed because they're not, you know, secure with their own bodies. They can't have anybody else see those bodies. Mm-hmm. Just tons of struggles. But none of them too big for God and his word. But certainly lots of struggles in honesty, communication. They're sowing fig leaves for themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That is quite a bit. And as you said at the beginning, just through the influence of sin and our flesh, warping and distorting and corrupting our views upon sex and Satan wanting to attack the bedroom, as you know, pretty much the starting point of all of these struggles, that these plethora of struggles that you just listed for us. Now, you know, if I'm a Christian couple, if I'm a Christian husband, and you know, I'm experiencing, you know, where me and my wife are experiencing these kinds of struggles in the bedroom with sex, feeling very uncomfortable talking about it to anyone, you know, whether that's in our church or our friends, what advice would you give them on how to kind of overcome or at least start addressing some of these struggles?
Well, I would say number one, honest prayer with one another. One thing that really helped my husband and I early on in our marriage, someone told us to pray together each day, not a long list of what you want to do that day, but what you're afraid of, what, in other words, to verbalize to the other person, here's what I'm afraid of today. Here's my challenges today. And then would you please pray on that? And so you're praying for each other's heart issues. That develops communication. And so you're telling each other what you really think and really feel. It's in general areas, not sexual. But then in the bedroom, that you pray together, and the prayer that my husband and I prayed before, during, or after intimacy was, "Dear God, I trust you for the results regarding children, pleasure, and bonding." Because some couples will really, really be wanting to have a pregnancy, and others really want to make sure they don't. So I teach them every act of intimacy has to be an act of faith. And so if you're praying, "Lord, I trust you for the results," or pleasure. Of course, nobody doesn't want pleasure. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Most people don't. Most couples don't. They would like to fulfill each other to some degree, maybe not necessarily climax, but some measure of closeness and tenderness and knowing and understanding. They want to feel closer. So you've got to trust God for that. So our prayers were, "Lord, I trust you for bonding, for children, or for pleasure." And then whatever the outcome, you can say, "I trust you, Lord. We trusted you then. And so if it's what you wanted, thank you, Lord. If it's what you didn't want, I'm going to trust you, Lord." So it's an act of faith. Mm. And anything not done in faith is sin, Romans 14 says. But we've often let the intimacy right out of that equation. You know, because, you know, God's not in this. Well, of course he is. It's a beautiful gift from him, and he wants us to trust him. So being prayerful. And you can be prayerful before, during, or after intimacy. I don't think there's a formula, but I think that really, really helps. And then also being super honest with each other. what feels good and what doesn't feel good. What you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with. And some husbands who struggle with porn want their husband, but their wives to act out what they like in porn. Well, their wife might not be comfortable with that. And she surely doesn't want to feel responsible, and she isn't, for his struggles. We're responsible for ourselves. God only asks us to have self-control. He doesn't ask us to have other control. So just being really honest about our expectations and what feels good and what doesn't. So if she says, you know what? I don't really think I can swing on a pole. No, I don't do that. So then you shouldn't be asking her that. But you do have to be honest about whatever you're doing for the other person, and what they're comfortable with and what they're not. Mm-hmm. And then also, as arousal continues, you're going to be comfortable with something at the climax that you weren't maybe at the beginning. That's okay, as long as you're being honest with each other.
Right.
Let's see, what else? How do you overcome? Well, I mean, I would certainly, like, if a man has erectile dysfunction, and for some men with years of porn and masturbation, they have ED. I mean, not that that's, I mean, ED is caused by a number of reasons, but you go to a doctor who specializes in that. And a lot of men are like, oh, I can't go to a doctor. Oh, no, I'd never, you know, send me medicine in the mail, but don't let me go to a doctor. But a specialist is somebody who really could help. So if it has become physiological, don't think God's going to, like, work a mighty miracle and heal you. I mean, not that God couldn't. But usually he uses secondary means, and God uses doctors who specialize in these things. So you mm-hmm. might, if it's really bad, go get that kind of help. Your pastor might help. Maybe he won't. He might give you a book. Might be a good book. It might not be. But whatever, if you get a good recommendation, I would suggest reading it together if you can manage that. Although some husbands and wives don't want to read it together. They want to read it separately and then come together and talk about it. But it is, they should be. If a counselor or a pastor gave them a book, then they should be talking about reading it and talking about it together. And there are some good ones out there. I hope mine is helpful when it comes out. I think husbands and wives could read it together. Christopher McCluskey, he's a Christian sex therapist. He's pretty good. And there have been others, many others, but mine is just more holistic.
I see. And, you know, at the start of our interview, you talked about how, you know, generally it is a struggle for the woman, the wife, to see sex as a delight rather than a duty. How would you kind of encourage or give advice to a husband who, you know, whose wife might be struggling with that, mm-hmm. And not wanting to be intimate? You know, how does the husband kind of encourage her and help her and support her without just kind of, you know, hitting her with 1 Corinthians 7?
Yeah. Such a good question. I think encouraging her to take care of herself for God's glory and her good, and not just so she can be better in bed for him. That's why I have a chapter on nutrition and exercise. Because some women are uninterested because they're so tired or because they have a weak pelvic floor. If you've had multiple children, and we had five, you know, your muscles are just very weak. So there can be very little pleasure because you're just, your core muscles are mush. I'm sure there's a better word, but it's just weak. So a husband can help a wife saying, hey, this is going to be really good for you if you exercise. So in my book, a trainer named Felicia Lauer, she's a licensed workout trainer at gyms, and she has a chapter on how to, on 10 minutes a day, how to strengthen your core, which is good for so many things, even old ladies with bladder issues. Lots of things can be solved with exercising your core. And so I think that chapter is going to be helpful. So if the husband can communicate that this is for both of them, you know, and then her nutrition, if she eats horribly, that doesn't help her to be strong, because she will get so much more pleasure if she's eating enough protein. And like my list, my sister wrote the nutrition chapter. She's a registered dietitian. And so she has foods for better blood flow, things like that. But almost no women, you know, think when they're planning their meals that day, okay, what will create better blood flow? They're thinking of losing weight or whatever they want. But it is important to treat the whole person. Because 2 Corinthians 7:1, I use that a lot. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, purify yourself from everything that contaminates body and spirit. A husband needs to realize that there are things that have contaminated the whole person, body and spirit. Those are spiritual things. It might be his impatience. She might just not be responding because it just seems like he's impatient. This is all about him. This isn't about her. So there's all kinds of things that contaminate body and spirit in many areas, but certainly in the in sexual intimacy. So if he's willing to talk to her, ask forgiveness, because a lot of women will hold back if they don't feel understood, if they don't feel like there's any emotional connection, this is just sheer duty, you know, then of course they're not going to respond very well. So he has to see, my husband used, you know, of course, the Ephesians 5 passage, that he has to lay his life down for her. So yes, her submission is important, but the way that God presented it, it both happens. He's sacrificing, she's submitting. One isn't more important than the other. So the husband who thinks that his wife is withholding, I mean, that's a sin should be repented of, but he needs to find out what's really inside and why she's withholding. We're a whole person. God made us whole people. Now, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus said that. It's not what goes in. It's what's in the heart. But that passage should not be in contradiction to 2 Corinthians 7:1 that says, purify yourself from everything that contaminates body and spirit. And the context is sexual. So we have to realize these are spiritual issues. And they can be physical issues, emotional issues. But God presents us with all kinds of wonderful solutions to anger and selfishness and failure, repentance and faith. So you say, forgive me, honey, I haven't been listening. Forgive me, honey, for being selfish. That goes both ways. The honey could be the husband or the wife. I'm not pointing fingers of blame at either one. But again, somebody who's caught in porn is pretty stuck. If they've been watching porn since they were kids, they have a life-dominating habit. And anything that goes in early and often sticks. So if he's been stuck on porn and in his mind, he's those images really fill him, then that's going to be really hard for him to, well, it's going to be hard for both of them, because he's got one thing in his head and she has something else. So there's got to be a lot of honest, brutally honest interchange.
That's helpful. Yeah, thank you for that advice. And hopefully that's an encouragement to the men out there who are struggling with this. Yeah, that's
because
great.
Your last by the way, your last question was,
yes,
what encouragement would I give?
Yes.
And I think what I would want to say is, don't quit. Never give up. That's what Satan wants you to do. He throws you those darts, you know, because this will never change. This is such a deep-seated problem. You'll never, just give up. But I would say never give up, because everybody has lifelong things. Well, they're struggles. They're besetting sins. The strongest Christian you've ever met still has some left that they're fighting. They haven't achieved perfection. That will happen in heaven. So I have my life dominating habits, not those, but destructive. But of course, porn is like, overeating is kind of like a drug too. If you're doing it out of stress, anxiety, you're doing it for comfort. And a lot of porn is for comfort. But somebody's lonely. So we have to always know there's hope. Don't quit. We always have repentance and faith. Those are two sides of the same coin. You get up and you say, "Dear Lord, forgive me. I did it again. Forgive me. I did it again. But my identity is who I am in union with Christ, not how well I beat my besetting sins, my worst habits." So if you get your identity, your value, your purpose, your worth from who you are in union with Christ, Colossians 3, then it's not so devastating when you mess up again. And I encourage men, you know, to get help in whatever support group. The more biblical, the better, as long as there's brutal honesty. And a wife, the way my husband handled it, is he told me about every temptation he had. And we prayed about it together, because he felt like, I was strong enough to take that. Now, there are some wives who don't want to know every struggle, every failure, because they're not ready to handle that. And I'm not saying I'm better than them. I'm not saying that at all. But there has to be real honesty with whoever is holding that struggler accountable. And of course, your who you are in Christ, your union with Christ is crucial to overcoming this. Do a study on in Christ. Go through the New Testament, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You're going to find it all over the place. And when you are settled on who you are in Christ, if you're a genuine believer, then no matter how many failures you've had, and you go, "How can I be a Christian? How can I be this screwed up and still be a Christian?" Well, you can be. Because what did Jesus say to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." just never quit. Jesus is the answer.
Amen. Thank you so much for that encouragement. And I hope that was a real encouragement to the men who are listening, that there really is hope in Christ as we continue to get up and repent before the Lord. He will continue to supply us with further strength. And even in 1 John, there's that promise that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So thank you so much for sitting down. Yeah, amen. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us, Eileen, and sharing so much wisdom from your experience and from how you have walked with the Lord this many years. And we can't wait to get a hold of your book when it comes out, From Duty to Delight.
Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman.
Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman. I definitely want to read that. So if anyone wants to, you know, find you online or get in touch with you, how might they be able to do that?
Well, I have a Facebook page for the book, and
Okay.
it uses the book's title, From Duty to Delight, Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman. So I only want one place to go to for, all my interchange on that, because if I have to go check texts and email and Messenger and my Facebook page, hey, I'm too old for that. So just one source. And if somebody says, well, I don't like Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, I don't know what the solution is for that. Maybe
The
someday I'll have
solution is to get Facebook.
my own web page, but I'm not ready for Eileen Scipione yet, whatever.com. I'm not ready for that yet.
Right. Well, yeah, so you can find Eileen on Facebook. The title of the book is From Duty to Delight. What is it?
Sexual intimacy for the
For the
whole
whole woman.
woman.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sitting down with us again, and God bless.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that interview with Eileen Scipione. What a powerful interview. She gave us so many insights on sex, on overcoming common struggles when it comes to sex, and you can find more in her book, From Duty to Delight, Sexual Intimacy for the Whole Woman. And as she said in the interview, it's not just for women, and there are so many amazing and practical insights in the book. If you want further reading on the subject, it is available now on Amazon, and you can go and pick it up. And brothers, I hope that this interview was a blessing to you, and as always, the victory is ours. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Overcoming Porn podcast. We hope that this podcast and our other resources can equip you to find freedom over porn and lust. Please visit Titus 2 Institute. That's Titus with the number 2 Institute.com for all of our other resources.